Greetings one and all again. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor. And in this conversation, I'm joined by my old buddy Mike Shedlock, affectionately known as Mish, by all of us and his many followers on the internet. Mish is a registered investment advisor representative, a blogger. He and I see eye to eye most of the time. And what I want to talk about today, Mish, is the picture for interest rates and a dollar. I'm going to assume that people listening to this have already read a post that I put on my website over the weekend talking about the Fed and my view that we're going to see a pretty strong, perhaps, countertrend rally in the dollar and so forth. Now, a lot of people think we're going to have this open-ended inflation and interest rates are going to rise. We'll have this inflationary growth or stagflationary growth. I've been ambivalent on it recently after recommending that people short treasuries for a while. We got out of that trade because I was worried that this recovery, such as it is getting long in the tooth. What does Mish say about whether the Fed has any justification in telling us they're going to raise interest rates for the next 2 years, the economy is strong, et cetera?
Hey, Chris. First off, pleasure to be on the show, and greetings from Arches National Park. You caught me in a hotel this morning, and been doing a lot of hiking here, taking some pictures. Beautiful place. If you get a chance to go to Arches, I'd say do it. One of the things I've been writing about, Chris, is that the belief in inflation is picking up. The consensus now is that there's going to be at least 4 rate hikes this year in 2018, and some people are expecting even more than that. That's counting the one that we have in already. But I look at this kind of stuff, Chris, and I say, when is the consensus? And it's literally overwhelming. When is the consensus ever right on this stuff? It's generally wrong. But inflation is the pickup of the day, the meme of the day. And people got that from the Beige Book report, where firms are reporting just anecdotal evidence, mainly about the steel and aluminum tariffs, where some of these input prices are going up as much as 25%. That's where it's coming from. It's also coming from a spike in oil, and President Trump is actually blaming OPEC for this. Perhaps he ought to look at his own trade policies here. But the signs to me are the global economy is slowing, is rolling over. I believe that we're seeing the same kind of thing we saw in 2008, remember when oil spiked to $140? Everyone that back then was thinking, next stop 200, next stop 300. I did a post where I said, expect record low interest rates across the entire U.S. Treasury yield curve. I was right then, and I think I'm going to be right one more time. I think we're going to see the global growth story fall apart, and with it, interest rates coming back down.
Now, when we were together last up in Chicago in October at the always popular Friday evening Gab Fest that we have, our panel discussion at the Chicago Resource Expo, you pretty much took that same position. You believe that this recovery and so forth is long in the tooth. If anything, we're going to see lower interest rates yet going forward. Dana Lyons, our mutual friend, who's also an investment advisor representative in the Chicago area, was kind of taking the opposite tack and believing that for an extended period of time, we may have inflation bubble back up, interest rates will go back up closer to something resembling normal, even if we get inflationary and then stagflationary growth, we were still going to have that scenario. And if you remember, I not only because I was just trying to play peacemaker, but I said, you're both right. Bain is going to be right first, and you're going to be right later. I still believe that. And so I'm kind of shifting from the position where I even had people shorting treasuries until very recently. But even if we do for a short time, as I write this weekend, exceed that 295 peak, which we tagged yesterday, Friday, in the 10-year, and we go up to 3.25, 3.33, whatever, it's not going to go much more than that. It can't. It's going to become self-correcting. But let me ask you this. When you have somebody, Mish, like a Lael Brainard, a Fed governor who was one of the more reliably dovish ones of them all, that all of a sudden, incrementally, has gone completely the other direction. She says that headwinds have now turned to tailwinds for the economy. She may rethink that if a trade war got really out of hand, and we're far from that. But here's the other thing that she said, and this is really, in the end, I think, what is going to feed into your scenario and mine. She has echoed in this last week what John Williams has said, what Bill Dudley, the outgoing New York Fed president, has said, what Jerome Powell has said, and that is they not only are willing to tolerate a long overdue correction in risk assets, they actually welcome that. And so the question becomes, at what point does the Fed overreact and, like Jeff Gundlach put it, break something?
The I think we're rapidly approaching that point. And again, this is all part of the general consensus. If you remember back to, this is going way back now, Chris, the Fed minutes back in 2000 show that Alan Greenspan and the rest of the Fed, I don't remember any of the rest of the names from back then, but their number one concern was the economy was overheating and they needed, they were way behind the curve and they needed to hike interest rates more. Now, the weird thing about this, Chris, is in effect, they are way behind the curve. They have been way behind the curve, which is why we have the bubbles we have today. So it's curious that, you know, it's almost an admission. We screwed up. We're behind the curve. But they're so far behind the curve that the cycle is naturally ending on its own accord. That's the weird thing. It seemed to happen that way in 2000, 2007. That's what it looks like to me right now, Chris.
Well, and to be sure, when they talk about inflation and they're looking for inflation, you and I both know that for the last 10 years, the Fed has reinflated every bubble that lost its air in 2007 and 8, and then some. If you add up all of the debt and all of the notional value of derivatives the world over, you don't talk in the terms of trillions anymore. It is $1 quadrillion, give or take, if any of us can even get our head around that number. So we've already had inflation. At long last, it's bubbling down to, or dripping down, I should say, trickling down to the kind of inflation that we talk about on Main Street as far as prices and stuff like that. But it's really late in the game. And so, you know, the Fed is really selling us a bill of goods in a way. They're notoriously bad prognosticators anyway. So, yes, for a while, as long as things stay liquid, as long as the markets stay liquid, they may get away with a little bit more of this normalization. But tell me where you see this end game going as we finish.
Well, I don't know how many hikes they actually get in. And it really depends on how much the market cooperates and then how much the inflation data cooperates.
I've got my honey.
As long as oil keeps going up and the Fed doesn't break anything, maybe they get in some of these hikes.
I've got my microphone.
I've been
muted
following
right now, but I'll be
yield
doing
curve
this in a second.
For quite some time. It just keeps getting flatter and flatter. Now, the last 3 days, the yield curve has actually steepened a little bit, but I figure that if the Fed gets in even as many as two more hikes, we're going to see at least portions of this yield curve, maybe the 2 year to 3 year or 3 year to 5 year, be the same or actually invert. And it'll be interesting to see what the Fed says about that. Seems like you've been following, you know, some of this Fed conversation lately. They're all coming out. They're trying to say the same thing. Look, we've got a new Fed governor, President Powell. So they're all trying to get behind him and support whatever he says. This is just normal business. I don't know whether they're saying this because they really believe it or they're just trying to present a uniform message here for the first time, because we certainly didn't see this under Yellen, any kind of consensus under Yellen. But so we'll see. But a couple of the Fed governors came out and said, well, you know, this flattening is perfectly normal, blah, 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 blah. In a way, I think this is actually spooking, sort of, and maybe it's their intent, the long end of the curve a little bit when they come out. There was nothing in this beige book report. The Bays Book is nothing more than a compilation of all these Fed regional anecdotes that they come out, the Philadelphia Fed, the Empire State, the Richmond Fed, the Dallas Fed. They just gather all these comments up and post them. And so there was nothing in this new that we didn't already know. But what was new was the bond market reaction to it. The yield curve steepened. And then when the Philadelphia Fed report came out last week, or actually was it still this week, the yield curve steepened a little bit more. So, yeah, I think the idea that the Fed's going to keep hiking until they break something is sort of correct, but it's also incorrect in this. The Fed has already broken things, which is because we have these bubbles. And whether or not the Fed hikes us into, and the Fed's likely to get the blame, Chris, for hiking once too many, but the seeds of destruction, and you know it, were sown long ago, and this bubble is going to break whether the Fed hikes this last hike. I mean, it's not going to be a straw that breaks the camel's back. It's the bubble itself that's going to burst no matter what the Fed does. You agree with that?
Well, absolutely. And as I said a minute ago, the inflation is already there. The risk going forward is deflation. The Fed already reinflated all these asset bubbles. Now they're back, and certainly not for the first time, thinking that they're going to be able to delicately let a little bit of air out without overdoing things. But I think you've got it nailed as far as where this ends up. I've referred to it as a game of monetary Jenga, you know, that game where you have the sticks every mm-hmm. which way, and you pull one out until the whole thing comes down. That's where we're heading, I'm afraid. So anyway, Mike, thanks for taking
the time. That's a good analogy. And yeah. The thing is, it's going to do that whether or not it's that last hike. And everyone's going to blame that last hike. Trump's going to, you know, blame the Fed. You can see this coming already. Or he's going to blame OPEC. You know, he needs to look at himself. Congress needs to look at themselves. This tax cut is going to increase the deficit without a doubt. All of these pieces are coming together right at a time when everyone, you know, it's clear the global economy is slowing, but everyone is convinced that it's heading the other way. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Two things real quick, because we're past out of time. Two quick commercial messages. One is, folks, if you've not already read it, read my post from this weekend about the Fed being too hawkish for its own good, perhaps. It's on the front page of my website, nationalinvestor.com. And, Mish, remind everybody where they can find you.
I'm at themaven.net/MishTalk. I moved over there a little bit ago. It's working out okay so far. Themaven.net, MishTalk. And, Chris, as always, a pleasure to be on your show.
Great. Take care, Mike.
Thanks.